a mixed bag, that book, I think.
It is a mixed bag. There's a...
he tours them in Sydney next month as well. Yeah. On the same forum as Bruce Cathy.
Well, the most interesting one of the lot is this farmer that came into the shop, and he pulled up outside on one of these little ag bikes, you know, like sewing machines, and played a bit of a grin for myself. I've had about 15 or 16 motorbikes, and I've still got four, you know. And I could kick myself for ever selling me Vincent, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, it's done. And I thought, you know, riding one of those little sewing machines. Anyhow, he got off and stretched himself, got his clothes off and that, and he came into the shop to get some little thing, I think a gas cylinder filled or something. Somehow I mentioned his bike, and what did he do? You know, I always ask people this. Down near Murray Bridge, he bales loose, and he's got a, well, had a property down there. And
this is Murray Bridge of South Australia.
Yeah, Murray Bridge, South Australia. And at the time, there were military manoeuvres on down that way somewhere. And he was baling hay, and he said the bearing in the baler started to scream and make a noise, and he'd been having trouble with it, and he thought, oh, no, not this again. So he stopped, put the baler out of gear, dismounted from the tractor and turned round, and the baler had stopped and the noise was still going. And he said, I was trying to come to grips with this for a minute. He said, then I became aware of a shadow and looked up, and he said, I was under a big saucer, he called it. And he said, going from the length of the bale and the tractor would have been 90 feet in diameter. And it was kind of, and as he's flown an aircraft and he gets his flaps done, he knows when an aircraft's about to stall, and he thought, shit, this thing's going to drop on me. And he ran out the side of the paddock, out from underneath it, looking up, and he said, looking up under it, it kind of came in and went up, just dark, you couldn't see anything. But the most remarkable part was, you know, on merry-go-rounds at shows, they have the horses, and they have, it's that wide, they've got these little wooden lats. Have you noticed them? That they're nailed to it so you don't slip over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're about inch and a half by half an inch. And then there's a gap, and there's another one. They're all around the edge. Well, he said, that's what it looked like underneath, but there were two rows of them. With your blink, you could see one row, which was rotating very fast, but the other one wasn't. And it was rotating in the opposite direction, but very slow. You could see it quite plainly. And he said, as it moved slowly along, it kind of came up like that, but there was a piece sticking up out of the top, like a dome. And around the bottom of the dome appeared to be a black seal of some kind. That's what he took it to be, like a weather seal or something. And he said the dome had it like a chest door and an arched top, but no windows that he could see, and no handle on the door or anything. And he said on what he took to be the rear of it, there was slight protrusions that he would call rudders, and two big round holes. And he said there was shimmering heat coming out of one, and the other one, there were little spurts of flame coming out of it. And he gained the impression that one engine wasn't working, you know, because one disc wasn't spinning. And then, as he cleared it, he said the most remarkable thing of all, there was a Cessna aeroplane stuck to the side of it.
The whole aeroplane?
A whole aeroplane, yeah. He said the aeroplane, the tops of the wings were flat against the side of it, and the tail was kind of hanging down, a bit clear of the edge. And he said there were no chains or ropes or anything like that visible. And I think he said there was some oil running down the side of the Cessna, and he thought this may have been ingested if there was an air intake underneath or something, because heat and flame coming out would suggest air burning, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Combustion.
And anyhow, he scratched the registration number on the tractor with a nail, and he said, next time I come up, I'll give you the number. And he did. It's written down at the shop in a book. And the interesting thing is, it was the day following when that plane went missing between Victoria and Tasmania.
Yeah.
You know, when that one, he rang up and said there were lights around him and all that.
Yeah. So this would have put it back in around about October 78.
Yes, yeah. And it was the day following. He said, anyhow, he said, this thing moved off in the direction of where the military maneuvers were. He said, it kind of went over the ridge. He said, the last he saw of it with a high pitched sound. He said, now, he was in town later in the day and he didn't mention it to anyone. And one of his neighbours said to him, you're doing some more crop spreading. He said, no. He said, what's the cessna down in your top paddock? He said, there's no cessna in my top paddock. His cessna was made. He said, I was up the top of my property in this slice out there, parked into your strip. Well, he said, that's strange. He said, I'll go and have a look when I go home. So he drove up and they'd open three or four gates to get up onto this little plateau where they fly from. And he said, there's no aeroplane there, but there were three tyre marks down through the grass. So he followed the tyre marks, and down the end was a big pool of foam somewhere on the ground. Now, the question is, had the plane been landed there and they dumped the oil out of it because it was causing problems, where did the plane go? Now, I got in touch with a commercial pilot, and all commercial pilots, I used to do a lot of flying myself, and I still hold a private license.
Mm-hmm.
But all commercial pilots get a register of all planes. So I asked this commercial pilot to look this number up and see what he could find out about it. And it's now on an Oster down in Victoria somewhere. So my plan is to write to this fellow and ring him up and ask him who had the number prior to him, how did he come to get it, and see if he's evasive or whether he gives, he knows where it come from, because half an aircraft's lost and it's written off the register, they register that number to somebody else.
They do.
Yeah. So there's something funny going on there somewhere. But, you know, you could never invent a story like that. And he's gone to live up near Barrowa somewhere. He's bought a place up there.
Right, so he's
living. I've got it all written down somewhere.
Mm.
And as he told it to me, I wrote it down. And when I find it, I'll photocopy it and post it copy of it.
Yeah.
With his current address if I've got it.
Mm. So you reckon he's in the Barrowa area now?
Yeah, Barrowa Bingra. Over that way, he was looking at a small property there, somewhere on the river, and he was going to buy it and grow hay up there.
Do you know a guy like Stan Williams up that bottom?
No, I don't.
You know, Stan Williams, I've had contact with over the years. He's very interested in the UFO subject as well.
Yeah.
He's in the Barrowa Bingra area.
Well, that's it. That's interesting. The I've often wondered. I've had a lot of jobs in my day, but I ran a theatre for 10 years. And when you're projecting the films, there's 32 pictures on that screen a second.
Yeah.
In actual fact, it's only half that, but you've got a shutter that's rotating and two windows in it,
yeah.
And it has that effect now. That picture exists everywhere from the lens to the screen, but it's only in focus on the screen. If you had like a muslin or some of this stuff hanging halfway down, there'd be light on it, but not much of a picture.
Mm.
But with a little touch of the louver, I could alter the focus and you'd have the picture there and not on the screen. So I often wondered about, you know, travelling from here to Mars or here to anywhere. It may only be a matter of shifting focus.